voice just was not cooperating, so. Anyway, well, I am so glad to be here with you today, and I just want to thank you again for having me. It's been so lovely to get to spend time with you all and enjoy being here with you in this beautiful place, this beautiful church. And I have just loved every minute of it. Thank you again for your prayers, too, for my husband, Aaron, when he was having surgery this past Thursday. He's doing very well. The doctor said the surgery went just great. So they got it all fixed up. There's no nerve damage. There's no problems. Now he's just got to heal up. So he's taking his meds and icing his arm and doing all those things. But yeah, so thank you guys so much for your prayers and for your hospitality these last 6 weeks. So we are in the last week of our walk through Galatians, and we're just going to review this a little bit, right? So we've spent a lot of time talking about legalism, this false teaching that's dangerous because not only does it create division and one-upmanship and all sorts of nastiness among Christians, but it leads us right back to trying to follow the rules to be acceptable, to try to follow our traditions in order to be acceptable instead of following Jesus and putting our focus on following Jesus, living as Jesus did, doing what Jesus would do, treating people the way that Jesus would treat people. We talked about some of the questions and insecurities that can make legalism attractive. Even though it doesn't sound like it would be attractive, it can be really attractive when we're dealing with these fears and insecurities about whether God really loves us, even when we're behaving in pretty unlovable ways, about whether Jesus is really enough for us. If Jesus is really enough for those annoying people over there who make me feel uncomfortable and who I disagree with. And even just that desire to kind of keep things under control, have a sense of normalcy and safety and control when the world feels out of control or confusing or maybe like it's not a safe place. Those are the reasons we might try to kind of cling to really rule-based or tradition-based thinking. We've talked about how Jesus not only lived, died, and rose again to set us free from the powers of sin and death, but he sent his Spirit so that we could live out this new life he has given us in reconciled relationships with God and with one another, and that we start that relationship now, that new life, that walk in the Spirit that begins now and that continues on into eternity with God. And those reconciled relationships lead us to the reality that in God's economy, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male or female. We're all God's favorite, the blessed heirs of every good thing that God has promised his children. Now, last week we talked about the crapalanche effect, how sin can lead us into a different sort of bondage, just like we read in Romans 6, not to the law, not to the rules, but to our own flesh, to our own selves. You know, we think we've got things under control. Guys, we do not have things under control. So we also talked about that George MacDonald quote, remember? He said, man should be free, not merely as man thinks of himself, but as God thinks of him. A free will is not the liberty to do whatever one likes, but the power of doing what one sees ought to be done, even in the face of otherwise overwhelming impulse. There lies freedom indeed. And now we come to chapter 6, where Paul is wrapping things up and sharing a couple final words of wisdom. So if you want to turn with me in your Bibles to Galatians 6, we will read that together. Oh, I just flipped to Ephesians 6. That would not make a whole lot of sense there. All right. Oh. All right, Galatians 6. Brothers and sisters, if someone was caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you too may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else, for each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps whatever he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. See what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand? Those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised keep the law. Yet they want you to be circumcised that they may boast about your circumcision in the flesh. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision mean anything. The only thing that matters, what counts is the new creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, to the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen. Now, we are going to do something a little bit different today. We're going to mix things up a little bit. And one of the problems with sermons, one of the things that aren't great, is that they're really good for passing on information, but they're not always as effective at providing space for reflection and contemplation and thinking through how those things apply to our lives. Now, we've spent 5 weeks in the book of Galatians, so hopefully most of you, if you've been here, kind of have a sense of it. You've got the main ideas down by now. And I know a lot of you have been following Jesus for a long time. So we're just going to slow down a little bit today as we close our time in Galatians, and we're going to take Paul's advice that each of us should test our own actions. And how we're going to do that is we're going to kind of just pray through these parting words of wisdom that he's given the Galatians and that he's given us. So what we're going to do is I'm going to read through this passage again, and I'm going to break it into three sections. And after each section, I'm going to ask a handful of questions and give you a little bit of time and space to talk with God about that quietly in your heart, to just reflect, to just think that through. Now there's, in your bulletin, you've got a song on one side, you've got a blank sheet on the other. If you want to write down your thoughts or what God brings to your mind, if you want to doodle, you can do that, but you certainly don't have to. And I also want to say up front that not every question is going to resonate with you, and that's okay. This is not a school assignment. You do not have to answer all the questions. This is just a way for you to think through what God might be trying to say to you through the book of Galatians, through this time that we have spent, what God wants to say to you today. So I would just, as we read through this, listen prayerfully. Listen for words or phrases that stand out. Listen to the questions that stand out. And then just talk to God about those things in the space that's provided. Because, I really believe the Holy Spirit wants to speak to us today. Do you guys believe that? Yeah, God still speaks to us today. He speaks to us through the scriptures. He speaks to us through our hearts, those of us who have received the Holy Spirit. And I really believe that God has something for each and every one of us today, if we will listen. So I would say just let's prayerfully listen to the scriptures as they're read. Let's prayerfully consider the questions and think through what God is telling us today. So I'm going to start by reading Galatians 6, verses 1 through 6. And you can just listen. And listen for what God might be saying to you. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, You who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone, without comparing themselves to someone else, for each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. So now a couple questions. The first one has to do with, how am I managing conflict with other believers? Am I avoiding difficult conversations that God might be calling me to engage in? Or am I maybe being a little bit self-righteous and engaging with people in a way that is not gentle or kind? So let's take a couple moments and talk to God about that. How am I managing conflict with other believers? Here's another question. How do I manage conflict with myself when I fear that I'm falling short? Do I tend to cling to rules or religious traditions in the hopes that doing so will mean that I'm safe, I'm secure, I'm okay, I'm doing all the right things? Or do I maybe try to compare myself favorably to someone else who's not doing so good? Like, surely God is going to grade us all on a sliding scale, so I'm doing fine because I'm doing better than that person over there. How do you manage your own fears of falling short? Let's take a couple minutes to talk to God about that. Here's another question. How might God be inviting me to test my own actions or to think through what's going on in my heart today? And what good things are growing in my life that I can take a healthy sense of pride in? Let's take a couple minutes and ask God about that. We're going to move on now to Galatians 6, verses 7 through 10. And again, you know, if there's things that are sticking in your mind about these questions, feel free to consider contemplating them, but we're just prayerfully listening to what God has for us today. So Galatians 6, verses 7 through 10. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what they sow. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So our first question is, have there been times in my life where I have tried to maybe trick or pull one over on God, or figured, you know what, if I do this, then God's got to do that. He's going to for sure do that. Or maybe we tried to bargain with God, say, you know, I will do this as long as you do that. Have there been times when you've just kind of tried to pull one over on God or get away with things in a way that's not a happy, healthy relationship? Let's take a couple moments to talk to God about that. Here's another question. Are there places in my life right now where I have been sowing to please the flesh, where I've just been doing whatever I felt like I wanted to be doing? Where are those spaces in my life, and what's God's invitation regarding those spaces? Let's take a couple moments. And here's the flip side of that, because sometimes we don't think about the positives enough. Where are the places in my life where I really have been sowing to please the Spirit, where I really have been doing the things that I feel like God is calling me to do, growing in those areas that I feel like God is calling me to grow in? So where are those places where I've been sowing to please the Spirit, and how do I see life beginning to crop up in those areas? Let's take a couple minutes to speak to God about that. And one more question here. Have I grown weary in doing good? Am I weary in doing good? And in light of Paul's, you know, idea that we should do good to all people, every opportunity, especially those in the family of faith, what is God's invitation there? What is God's invitation in my weariness and also in that call to love one another well and to do good as we have opportunity? Let's talk to God about our weariness and our calling. Now I'm going to read Galatians 6, verses 11 through 17. See what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. Those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised keep the law. Yet they want you to be circumcised, that they may boast about your circumcision in the flesh. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, to the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. Okay, so here's a question you might not have considered for a while. Are there places in my life where I am still trying to impress people? Who am I trying to impress and why? Let's take a couple minutes to talk to God about that. Paul prayed that he would never boast except in the cross of Jesus, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what about me? What about us? Are there ideas or identities or activities that I'm tempted to situate my worth or my identity in instead of Jesus? Let's take a minute to ask God to reveal any of those spaces in our life where we're trying to find our worth that's not in Jesus. And then when you've thought about those things, that you're tempted to situate your worth or identity in or cling to instead of Jesus, the next question is, how might Jesus be inviting me to let go of some of those things, to open up our hands and just release them to God? What might God be inviting me to let go of in order that I can live more fully in the new creation? And what might God be inviting me to pick up in order to live more fully in this new creation? What is God's invitation to me here this morning? Let's take a couple minutes and ask God about that. And we'll end this time by reading Galatians 6:18. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen. So we are going to move into our time of communion now. And you know, I was thinking as I was preparing for this week, and sometimes it's just good to have that quiet time, to have that space to really reflect what's going on in my life, what's going on in my heart. Where is God doing wonderful things? What's bringing life? Where am I still really struggling? Where do I need the healing touch of God? Where do I need that grace and forgiveness to just flow over me? So what a wonderful time to be celebrating communion, to celebrate this incredible gift that Jesus has given to us, that we don't have to live in our failures, we don't have to stay stuck in our sins, that we don't have to be enslaved to any of that stuff that enslaves us, whether it's our traditions or our rules or whether it's our sins or our addictions or those things that keep weighing us down. We can let go of that. We can let go of those things that we've been carrying, those heavy burdens, because Jesus has taken them for us. He's taken them on himself at the cross, and he is inviting us into this new way of living with him and with one another. So we are going to move into our time of communion, but we'll begin with the prayers of the people. What do we need to be praying about today, or what are you thankful for today? What do you want to bring before God today? Yeah.
Just pray that God is the most wonderful person, friend in our world, that we really worship and love him, and he's just so great that I can't imagine.
Just praise.
I want to live and be with him when it's my time to go.
Yes. Yes. It's just, aren't you thankful for the friendship of God? For his love and for his care in our lives? Oh, that's so wonderful. Okay, Deanna Anderson, who's recuperating from surgery this week, to remain in prayer for her. And again, thank you for your prayers for my husband this past week and continued prayers as he continues to recuperate. Oh, no. Oh, for Jess's cousin, Tristan, who had a heart attack. And she's, how old is she? So she's only about 40 years old. Okay, so we need to be praying for Tristan and for her whole family and support system as they... Is she doing okay?
She's doing okay.
Okay, all right.
Horrible spirit thing. She has an inherited heart problem.
Okay, so an inherited heart problem. So we need to keep Tristan in prayers. Yeah, for Pastor Josh and his family as they're preparing to come off of their sabbatical and return here with you all.
For our nation, gratitude to God for our nation.
Yeah. So continue praying for our nation, gratitude for our nation and the freedoms we possess. Prayers for all of our leaders and all of the different things going on, that God will just superintend. We are so thankful for the good things that God has given us, and we want to be diligent in continuing to pray for all the things that God has to do, because we're not perfect either. Yes.
And I want to pray especially for you, that thank you very much for being with us for several weeks, that you have been such a great person.
Yes, well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate your continued prayers. And my family, and I, God willing, my family and I should be here on the 140th anniversary celebration, so I'll probably see you guys next then.
A praise that, you know, Anna flew into the States last week, hoping to spend time with her brother, who was unexpectedly deployed because of a family emergency for someone else.
Okay.
But he is getting, I just got a text yesterday that he is flying back into San Diego, so she's postponing coming here because she'll have a couple days with her brother.
Oh, that's excellent. So a praise that Anna was able to, she returns to the state safely and things were able to work out, that she is able to see her brother, even though that seemed a little iffy for a little bit there. They weren't sure, so thankful for that. Yes?
I guess prayers for Thanksgiving and gratitude for all the things that have been accomplished so far for the 140th, and that you talked about and asked about weariness, and so for continued strength for that group that is working.
Yes, so gratitude for all the work that's been accomplished so far for the 140th, and prayers for the group that's working on that They will not grow too weary, that they'll have the strength to do the things that God has for them to do in this time. Let's pray. God, we bring all these things before you today, the things that are spoken and the things that remain unspoken. You know our needs. You know the wonderful, good, and life-giving things that are going on in our lives. You know those places where we're hurting, where we need your touch, where we need your healing. God, we just pray for your hand to be with those who are hurting, those who are sick, those who are suffering. We pray that you would not only heal, but you would bring encouragement and comfort to those in difficult situations. God, we thank you for our nation, for the freedom that we have, for all the good things that you have done and are continuing to do in our country. And we pray too, God, that you would continue to work in those things that need your touch, that need your healing, those things that are broken and in need of your wisdom. And we pray for wisdom for our leaders as well, God, the ones that we agree with, the ones that we don't agree with. God, we pray that they would have your wisdom, that your spirit would move in them, that they would be open and receptive to hear from you and to do those good things, those life-giving things that you are inviting them into. And God, as we move into this time of communion, we just pray for ourselves as well. We pray that you would continue to speak to us, that you would give us open hearts to hear from you, that you would give us hearts that hear, that you would make our hearts to be good soil where your word can drop in and begin to sprout up and flourish and be life-giving, bringing life to us and bringing life to those around us. And we ask, too, that you would remind us to pray as you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, if you'll turn in your hymnals to number 551, we will sing together as we gather at your table. If you would stand, if you can, and we will turn to number 879 in our hymnals as we affirm our faith. Number 879. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I will invite our communion service forward as we move into our time of communion. And you may be seated. Oh, come. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you that even when we mess up, even when we... when we're so easily falling into traps, into bondage to sin, into bondage to our own ideas about what's right or wrong, into bondage to legalism, that you free us, that you invite us to live into this new life that you've given us as your children, as your beloved children, not as slaves, not as people who are just needing to cringe in fear, but people who are loved, who are deeply, deeply loved. Loved so much that you sent your Son to live and die and rise again on our behalf so that we could spend eternity with you in reconciled relationships with you and with one another. So we pray today that you would take these elements as common as they are and that you would use them, that you would touch our hearts, that you would touch our minds, that you would help us to just receive everything that you have for us today, God, and then to live out of that abundance that you provided for us. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. For I received from the Lord that which I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this, whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Please come forward to receive what God has for you today, yesterday, and for all the days yet to come.